Praise God. Isn't the Lord good to us? We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. We want to update you on several needs today. We want to pray for Sister Jennifer Pirtle's family, that God would be with them, her brother, his wife, and children, and the Jones family, that God just be with them. And her little niece, we've been praying for, passed away. I'm sure you have the text, but if you didn't, we want to pray that God would just comfort them. Brother Shorty Quinn is in Willowbrook for about 20 days of rehab, and he's having some difficulties. When he stands up, he gets real dizzy. We want to pray and believe the Lord. If you get a chance to go by Willowbrook, I'm pretty sure if you could catch him at a time where he's not in the rehab department, he'll be glad to visit with you. Also, Brother Danny Williams last night was in the ER. They couldn't figure out what the pain was, the problem was. They suspect maybe it's shingles, and we don't know yet. But both he and Sister Brenda are very weary in body tonight. And I've said, we're going to pray for the body, but we're going to pray for rest. So we're going to believe the Lord for that. Sister Sandra Holt, she is doing much better. They do think it was a gastric reflux situation that caused her to go to the hospital. Ryan, his hand is looking so much better. Brother Bill told me that yesterday. He said, I'm telling you, God's doing a great thing. And we're so thankful for the hand of the Lord in the midst of all our problems. God is faithful. Amen. He's faithful. Our missionary, Brother Bracken. Brother Bracken, they found that he has cancer has come back. And it's five different places it has spread. They believe that they can tackle it. But we want to pray for the Brackens, that God would be with them. Precious people that have served the Lord in Taiwan. We want God just to minister tonight. Other needs, we're so thankful that we're able to come to God. And that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Would you take these needs to the Lord tonight? Lord, we love You. We praise You. We honor You tonight for Your healing virtue. Your answers, God, Your great grace. Thank You, God, for making a difference in these. Lord, I thank You this evening, Lord, for helping us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for blessing us. Thank You for touching and healing these bodies and giving them their miracle. Lord, I give You praise and I give You thanks tonight in Jesus' name. Somebody say, thank You, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, things change very quickly, don't they? And the governor of our state said it just yesterday. He said, you know, the sun's shining bright, it's warm outside, but he said, in just a little bit, it's going to be freezing all over Texas, North Texas. It's going to be severe. Some of the record-breaking temperatures. And we want you to be in prayer for our elderly saints, our widows, our different ones that God would protect, even our young men. Brother CJ, that his place, God protect him, different ones here tonight. God put his hand of protection on them. And I don't think it's going to get as severe here as it is just north of us, but in west of us. But we want the Lord's hand to be upon our people. Amen. And we're thankful for that. Tonight, if I could have you just to squeeze in the middle. Amen. Somebody get me the podium tonight. Amen. I haven't got all my breath back that I need. A while ago, I was just amazed, thinking, oh, Lord, help me. But tonight, I want to follow what I felt in the Holy Ghost to teach. I got it, brother. I want to say I appreciate my church family. Amen. Every one of you are important to me and my wife. And Isaac, I hope. Yeah. I'm picking on Isaac. Amen. And Thursday night, remember Thursday night, children's church, prayer meeting, our youth overcomers, all these different announcements. If you could help anyway, please, please remember Friday and Saturday, the Spanish conference, you would be a blessing. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. We're going to talk tonight, why do we strive to be separate for God? What's the purpose of this? And 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, in verse 16, is the scripture that I want to go to tonight. The scripture says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that if the Spirit of God dwelleth in you," it says, "if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God," "God shall destroy. For the temple of God is holy," which temple you are. You're God's temple. You belong to God. Look at your neighbor and say, "You belong to God." Amen. You may be seated. Then the next scripture is 1 Corinthians 6:19. This scripture says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You belong to God. Your body and your spirit belongs to God. I want to just, our title tonight is, why do we strive to be separate for God? You know, many today have questions about why we do certain things. What is the purpose of so many of our doings, our lifestyle and standards? And when the reason is not clearly understood or communicated, people have a tendency to feel that it's no longer important or needful in their life. We just read the scripture. It says, our body is the temple of the Lord. It's important. Now, in getting down to the very roots of what I want to talk to us tonight, I want to help you, is it's going to be basic separation tonight. I'm not going to go into details, but there's some things in, I mean, I've been repeating this. There's some things in the Bible I don't have to pray about. It's very clear. It's very clear that a woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man, and a man should not wear that which pertaineth to a woman. Very clear. It's very clear in the Word of God why our ladies don't cut their hair and why men don't wear long hair. Very clear. The Bible teaches us to be separate. Now, I want to just talk to about this tonight, about separation. First of all, Christ moves into the human temple. For so long, the temple back in the Old Testament was a beautiful edifice. One of the most beautiful things was Solomon's temple, crafted so well. Do you know not a hammer was heard in the temple? Everything was pre-crafted or pre-manufactured. Everything fit together perfect. Solomon was very careful because he wanted everything to fit perfect. And it was for God. And it was of the best of the best. Even the tabernacle, there was a difference between the tabernacle and the temple. I need somebody tonight to tell me, what was a tabernacle and what was a temple? What was the difference between that? Anybody knew or would like to help everybody? Okay. Brother Wesley, tabernacle. Okay. All right. Brother Robbie. Exactly. One was a temporary dwelling, a tent, the tabernacle. Everybody say tabernacle. The tabernacle was the tent. Do you realize that it was ordained of God? It was the place of worship, and it was in the center of the camp. And how ironic it was that that place was in the center of the camp. Do you know in the matter of a few blasts on the ram's horn that they had the ability to pack that thing up? Different men had the job to get certain items, pack it up, and they would cover the Ark of the Covenant, and they would pack it, and they would move within a little bit, following the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire. It was a very sacred place with the glory of God. And Brother Wesley, it had dirt floors. Can you imagine such a beautiful tent, a beautiful place for God, a beautiful place of worship, with the priests there, went barefooted because God wanted their feet to be on something dirt to realize that they're nothing. while their feet was on dirt, their head was in the glory cloud. The temple was different. David wanted to build a house for God. He said, Lord, you dwelt in tents and I dwell in a palace. And he said, I want to build something. So David was not permitted to build it, but his son Solomon was. And Solomon built the temple. And it wasn't the only temple. The temple was destroyed later on. There was another temple built and so forth. But the Bible says that the Lord dwelt in the temple, but now you're the temple of God. Christ moves into the human temple. I want to just tell you, amen, when God made you so perfect. I love anatomy and physiology. I love that. Brother Bryant's talking about the hand, all the bones and stuff. That interests me. And I think everybody was thirsty Sunday night, wasn't you? Did you get thirsty watching all that? Talking about water and thirst. Anyway, your body's the temple. Jesus went to Calvary to buy you back. And so there was a purpose. So we belong to God. Let me just say this. The next slide says, we belong to God. We are twice His. Think about it. First by creation, and then by the purchase of our salvation with His own blood. And I love to teach this because I always use the illustration of the little boy who liked to make sailboats. He would make toy sailboats and he became pretty good at it. And so each one of his sailboats, he would take it to the river near his house to test it out. And one day after making, and spent a lot of time on a masterpiece of a sailboat, little bitty sailboat. He tested it out in the rivers and the current took it away from his grasp and it, before he knew it, he was gone. And his heart was broken because he spent so much time and effort in this and this was his best. It was a little bit later that the boy walked into a toy shop in the next village and would you know, on a shelf was his toy sailboat. The little boy was so excited. He ran back home. He got money from his grandmother, his grandpa. He got money from everybody he could find and went back and bought that toy sailboat. And this is what he said. You're twice mine. I made you, but now I bought you. Are you thankful that Jesus Christ paid the price for you? Hallelujah. You're not your own, the scripture says. Amen. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Then it says, therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. Now, there is a price that we must pay. There's a price that we've got to pay. Right before that slide, Sister Nina, is a picture illustration. This is somebody receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost in a little illustration. There's a certificate there. A certificate of ownership. And I'm thankful that I belong to Jesus Christ. I am not my own any longer. Amen. I'm His. When He looks at you and I, He doesn't see a stranger. He doesn't see a foreigner. The Bible says we could come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. Amen. Are you thankful that you belong to the Lord? You have ownership. You get a title when you purchase a car and you pay for it. Until you pay for it, somebody holds the title. Somebody holds the title to your life. Amen. Jesus paid for it. Now, the next slide is the price that we must pay. Luke, the 9th chapter, says this. And Jesus said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's the price you've got to pay. If any man will come, if any man, that means whosoever, let him first deny himself. Then you got to take up his cross and what else? There's a lot of people go through denial. There's a lot of people make professions of faith. There's a lot of people start out, but they do not take up the cross. This is a daily thing. This is not a once in a lifetime deal. The cross fits your shoulder every day. It should be a daily walk and a daily talk with God. But there must be a denial of self. And the next page, next slide shows a cross. That cross is self-denial, that you surrender ownership. You surrender your rights, and you belong to Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today in this passage, Jesus is referring to a custom of a condemned person. Just like the Roman soldiers made Jesus carry his cross, and Jesus fell several times under the weight of it. But when you were condemned in Jesus' hour, they would give you a crucifixion stake, a cross, and you had to take it to the place of crucifixion, execution. And Jesus said, the followers of me must be willing to die to self, to your will. Separation from the world, hear me, involves a daily self-denial. And of what I want to do, what I want to say. And it's tuning into the preference to say this, God, I want your will, not my will. Remember, eternal life costs something. It cost a cross. It cost you following Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to go to the next one. Let's talk about repentance. There's a lot of people think repentance is kind of like the little boy that gets caught. Maybe stealing a cookie when he's not supposed to. He's sorrowful, but a lot of times he's sorrowful that he got caught. Brother Zach would tell you a lot of people at the jail are sorrowful. They're not sorrowful for the crime they've done. They're sorrowful because they got caught. Well, repentance is more than just feeling sorrowful for your sins. I don't know if you could read it. Yes, you can. You can read it. Let me tell you what it is. It is admitting that we are in need of God's authority. And we need help in our sinful condition. Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to what? You got to repent. There's no way around repentance. So, next thing, repentance is submitting to his lordship and allowing him to take the lead of your life. The next thing is committing to his purpose and his plan. We know that repentance is turning from sin and turning to God Almighty. Are you thankful that you made a turn one day? And you know what? Not one of you would be here today if you really, really just come to church. You don't come because of a social club. There's better social clubs, you know, that will pet you and all. But the preaching of the Word of God is more than just a petting situation. It's a salvation deal, eternal life. Amen. And we're so thankful for these things that God has given us. So we find that separation from the world is necessary. And we're going to talk about some things here today. So is separation from the world really necessary? Okay. We're going to get to where the rubber meets the road. Now, so I want to say it is necessary for us to separate ourselves. You know, there's some groups and churches that feel like we don't have to separate ourselves. Our lifestyle, our dress, our speech. I know people that will pray, say a prayer in a few minutes, else they're using perverted language. And men, when they get together, they think just because it's men, we could talk filthy. You're still the temple of the Lord. There's no time for there to be a legitimate liberty for you to be perverted. And I know we just tagged a bunch of men, but you know women are just as perverted today in mouth than ever. I was Kinfolk's restaurant one day, and there was a lady talking, and I mean, she was being so perverted. And she was joking with a man, and it was a shameful thing. But she low-rated herself very quickly and cheapened herself. Hey, ladies, I'm thankful that tonight we have females in this place, but we have ladies in this place. Amen. Amen. So it's biblically necessary. Now, the next part, how many's ever heard of AI. All right. The next part is from AI. This is from chat. It's not from pastor's notes. I didn't get it out of anything. I got it from AI just to see what they said. Is it necessary to be separated and live a life of separation? Let's see what it says. First of all, it says it's a biblical foundation for separation. It says that the Bible repeatedly calls believers to live differently from the world. Whoa. You know what I said? Amen. Hey, in fact, it gave me some scriptures, John 17, 14 through 16. Jesus said his followers are in the world, but not of the world. Somebody say, chat, amen. Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. James, the fourth chapter, with a dollar sign behind it. Man, that's rich. Said a friend, 4:4 of James says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. What does enmity mean? Anybody want to tell me what the word enmity? Adversity? Completely against. The feeling an enemy has. Right? So when we're a friend with the world, we become an enemy. You can't love the world and love God. Let's just put it this way. You can't love the world's ways and love God. Okay? So it goes on. What does it mean to be separate? It's starting to answer my question that I sent. Being separate does not mean avoiding all contact with unbelievers. We are called to reach them. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That's a great commission. We're called to reach our world. So avoiding all contact with unbelievers is not what the Bible's teaching us. The next thing, separation is not living in isolation or avoiding society. We're all not going to go move to an island somewhere. Jesus ate with sinners but did not sin. Luke 15, 1 through 2. We're in this world, but we're not. So, let's look at the next one. Being separate does mean, look what it means, rejecting sinful behaviors, rejecting sinful values, rejecting mindsets of the world. It means when you're separate, you're going to live by God's standard, not the culture's. Man, about this time, I'm saying amen. Artificial intelligence is preaching a message tonight. The next thing, not being influenced by ungodly systems. I didn't add anything to this. It says media, entertainment, and ideologies that oppose God. Now, if I would have got up here and started saying that, some of you all would have thought, man, Brother Crosswhite, you're being hard. It's obviously, it's reflecting what the Bible says. Next one, being distinct in character, showing holiness, integrity. Somebody say integrity. And love. Separation means I'm going to be distinct in my character. The Bible says, let him that steals, steal no more. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. We put away those things. And we start working on our character. Gossiping, double talk, on and on. And when we are offended, we have the integrity to go to somebody. And if we offend and we know we offend somebody, we have even a greater load of integrity to make it right. Somebody say amen. Yes, Brother Kenny. So the next one, why is separation important? That's the next thing it begins to talk about. Number three, it says, It protects our walk with God. Sorry for the whatever that's in the middle. Protects our walk with God. Psalm the first chapter. Number two, it aligns or it maintains our witness. And that's Matthew 5:14 through 16. It maintains our witness. It keeps our light burning. It makes sure that, you know, a person with witness in a court has evidence. It maintains your evidence to be substantial. I don't want just to get up and say it with my lips. Jesus said, there's many that say it with their lips, but their heart is far from them. There's no integrity. Next thing, it aligns us with God's will, not the world's ways. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Number four, and the point that artificial intelligence, when I ask my computer, it says another reason why separation is important, because the balance is to be engaged but not entangled. While Christians must separate themselves in values and lifestyles, we're also called to be a light to this world. We're to love sinners while rejecting sin and to be an ambassador. And then? While Christians must separate in values and lifestyles, I want to tell you, we got a chore. And it ought to be a duty with a privilege behind it that says, God, I am yours because you love me. So next slide. Yes, Christians must be separated. I'm still on AI right here. The answer from AI. Yes, Christians must be separated from the world and how they live, think, and act. But they must also stay engaged in order to fulfill God's mission. This is what it also answered. True separation is about holiness and not isolation. Well, I'm telling you, the truth has a way of getting through today. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the absoluteness of the word of the Lord? Now, there is a worldview. This is my part now. The worldview, and then there's the word view. The worldview says we don't need any boundaries. The worldview says, you know, don't take my liberty away. The worldview says, you know, I got freedom to say what I want. The worldview says, you're imposing on me by preaching the word. The worldview says, you're infringing on my personal business. But folks, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Think with me. The Tower of Babel. Even we go back to Lucifer. Lucifer got to the place that he thought he was bigger than his britches. See? And when he came up and he said, you know, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to do this. You better watch out for your eye. Spiritual eye trouble. That's the reason why we got to deny ourselves. Then you go to the Tower of Babel. The Lord told very plainly for them to scatter abroad across the face of the earth and multiply. But what did they do? They started manufacturing. They manufactured a governing system. They started building. And this is what they said in their rebellious state. We're going to build up. And we're going to build this tower to touch even the sky that we could be like God. We can answer questions. We got everything together. We're well equipped. But hear me. They had spiritual eye trouble too. As a result, because of their manufacturing of what they thought was right, and they're rebellious, God scattered them and destroyed their work. Next thing, Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah got so evil, perverted. Sodom and Gomorrah got to thinking, we can live like we want. We don't have to have boundaries. Don't you know that nature itself even teaches us? I mean, animals are either male or female. Humans are male or female. But Sodom and Gomorrah got so perverted that it was a drive and a marketing of sensual things. Does it sound like today? Every billboard, just about every magazine, everything is aimed with marketing. Hollywood is aimed with marketing against the things of God. Immorality is ushered in. Immorality is catered. Immorality is talked about freely. And people today think, well, I have the right to be who I am. Getting their child changed from what they are to something else. And it's just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they didn't want boundaries. They didn't want authority. They didn't want to submit themselves. God is looking for people that lives in an hour such as Sodom and Gomorrah, such as right now. You say, well, we got a president and he's doing a lot of good work, but we're still living in the trash. This world is not our home. We're strangers and we're aliens here. This world still polluted and corrupt and perverted.
That's right.
Hollywood is still perverted.
That's right.
So the Lord has called us to be separate. There's things, again, that we don't have to pray about or contend about. Stand up and say, I don't believe that. I don't have to do that. You know what? You don't have to argue. There's some undebatable issues in the Word of God that speak very plainly. Men, God has called you to be a man. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Well, I need to hear somebody say amen.
Amen.
God has made us this way. There are some things that are undeniable, undetestable. You can't contest the things of God. But why is it that we have such a problem complying to what's right? Scripture says, woe to them that have taken good and call it evil. You witnessed it just recently to where if you were standing up for right, if you were standing up for male and female, you became the criminal. You became the idiot. You became the insane. You became the evil one. How dare you? Oh, tolerance. You know, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And believe me, amen, just because we're in this world, we don't need the world in the church.
That's right.
The Titanic sank because it got some of the outside inside. And when the church begins to let things trickle inside, it's going to sink. It sinks homes. It sinks individuals. And with shame and rebellion, must the pastor have to be a police? Must the pastor have to constantly stay on you and say, hey, must we have to constantly shake the stick at you and, hey? Or would it be that you have a love for God to say, God, your will, your work, your ways, I want your ways. I don't want to be a rebellious person. I don't want to be one that begins to counter the things of God, the things of the church. Man, and we'll talk about later about standards and why we draw lines and why the pastor has platform standards, why we do certain things, why we talk about these things and why we stand guard of these things. We'll tell you, a fence has a purpose. Brother Booker always said, and way back even before he wrote his book, never tear down a fence till you know its purpose.
That's right.
That's a purpose. Wow. I mean, I don't want a young lady up here with a skirt way up short. I don't want a young man wearing a skirt up here. Mm-hmm. I've had people mad at me. Because I would not permit them to come on the platform. You know, I want to keep what's holy, holy. And my pastor says, so goes the platform, so goes the church. You said, Pastor, platforms, sleeve length. Man, I battled sleeve length the last 5 years. I mean, we teach sleeves at a certain length. And, you know, there's people think, well, you don't have to do it, you know. Why? There's a purpose for it. We'll go into that later in teaching. There's a purpose we don't wear jewelry. There's a purpose why we don't wear wedding bands. And I want to answer that question why to you before you get mad and say, bless God, there's a purpose. I'm not trying to legislate something. I'm not coming in here and trying to say, oh, you're a sad individual. I want you to understand the reason why. There was a purpose. Wedding band was never a Christian thing. It never was a Christian thing. You read your encyclopedia, it would tell you just like AI will. More against it. God's looking for a church that is separate. And we will go into details more about why later on. But tonight, we just want to talk about separation. We want to talk about the privilege of being different from this world. The privilege of having His seal of ownership in our life. And tonight, what a beautiful thing to be balanced instead of entangled. I want to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. His word matters, and His glory matters in my soul and in your soul. How many wants to be closer to Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands with me and thank the Lord for Him buying your life and making you His? God, I thank you for letting me be your temple. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace and goodness, God. Let these things matter to me. Would you pray for you tonight? Lord, let these things matter to me. God, there's obviously a purpose and a reason. God, let everything matter to my heart. Jesus, speak to me. Season me, Lord. I trust you, Lord. And I believe you for these things to, God, just be in me as a mighty pillar and a foundation of the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Be an ambassador. Represent Jesus Christ in what you do. A rebellious spirit is not a good representative. We want to be those that say yes to God. And I want to say this. I don't want to be one that just does it because somebody says it. Because if you're just doing it just because everybody else is doing it and don't get it right here, you'll be out of balance and you'll be entangled. Do you know how important I feel about... Do you know that if I was a lady and I didn't serve God, I wouldn't take a pair of scissors and touch it in my hair for anything. Growing up in South Louisiana was a lot of witchcraft. Have you noticed that witches have long hair? Why? Because they recognize the power that's in the hair, just like the Bible says. And if I was a man, I wouldn't grow my hair long because the Bible still says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Even if I wasn't in church, I wouldn't go get tattooed up. Because I know what the Word of God says. My body is a temple of God. And you know, it matters what we do for Jesus Christ. Stand with me tonight. Well, tonight you could say AI preached to us, didn't it? It was very plainly. I was amazed how well it began to go right along with what my intention was to teach tonight about separation. And I thank God because just like the 10 virgins, all were virgins, but there were 5 wise and there were 5 foolish. The difference is 5 was prepared. And Sister Pearl, they had their lamps trimmed. And they had it burning and full of oil. I want you to be full of oil, Brother CJ. That tonight, if it would be your last night. Oh, you had a close call, didn't you, my brother? And it was awakening for him. But Brother CJ, I don't want that awakening to just get in church just because it scared you. But get in church because God loves you. Stay in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Would you lift your hands? Lord, I love and I thank you for the evidence of your spirit and your power. We worship you. We love you. We praise you, Jesus. Let us grow in grace and the knowledge of you. Teach us, Lord, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live righteously, soberly in this present world. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. Keep praying. Praying for my body. Amen. I love you. Let's go to heaven. You're dismissed.